Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Arise, O Lord, our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest. O let this house be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. And what follows, Psalter 368, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 14, the verses 12 through 28. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 14, the verses 12 through 28. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, how good thou art unto us and our children. May we receive an impression thereof when by renewal on this Lord's Day we may come up to thy house to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony, where thou still declareth unto us and our children that thou hast no desire in the death of the sinner, but therein that he may turn and that he may live. Then thou still profferest peace and pardon. Lord, we humbly ask thee, work lovingly and mightily by thy Holy Spirit. Thou knowest most perfectly how that each has come up. May there have come up souls with a sigh and with a cry, thirsting and hungering after righteousness, and may they be satisfied in this evening, Lord. Then thou makest such a great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth. So many in this day, no desire to go up, never been instructed to go up, see not the need thereof. Many without thy word, many have spent this day laboring in the things of the world. A great multitudes that could not go up. So many in hospitals, institutions of mercy, prisons, other places, and then the many countries where there is bitter persecution for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many that have gathered in secret places, many who have remained at home, fearing to be arrested. Lord, we commend the persecuted church unto thee, those in prison, those being tortured, their family circles. We commend unto thee the beloved for the Father's sake, where that veil still lieth upon them. May it hastily be removed. May it please thee to work by thy Spirit. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, the team. Wilt thou remember the father and mother that are learning their language? May their eyes be upon thee, but, O Lord, wilt thou also remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. May it please thee to bless thy word, that boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly, that they may be converted by thee unto thee, that it may become reality, that they may be added to the list of sires and to those seekers. And Lord, wilt thou remember those seekers? Many times riddles, many times fears, when they consider their little ship with the burden of their debt tossed to and fro, then there can be so many questions. But thou wast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands, and that people shall often experience those special tokens of thy favor. But thou hast a people upon the earth that need the pardoning of their sins to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Wilt thou grant those further leadings? May they be administered out of thy fullness. Receive grace for grace. Receive not only life, but to receive it more abundantly with the exercises concerning the glory of thy name and the coming of thy kingdom. To that end, do richly bless thy word, the midst of the church. Help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient to that end. May there be many Aarons and hers. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? Wilt thou be their help? May their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee the teachers of our Christian school, a responsible, also a beautiful task. When thy word may be opened, make it a rich blessing for young and old. Thou was granted in the past week that another school year may commence. May it be carried continually upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies? Lord, then we commend unto thee our theological school, where there is no student, to that end no commencement of another school year. We commend unto thee a young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. May they be found oftentimes on their knees, humbly begging thee for thy help and for thy presence, that thou may go before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. May they be given by thy free and sovereign grace to be given to seek thee early, where thou hast commanded in thy word, but seek ye first the kingdom of God of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Wilt thou give unto our young people that they may receive out of thy hand in the way of prayer a future spouse with whom they may go through the time around the old truth and around the old ways. Then by renewal we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones, Remember our Bethesda, their residents, and those that may care for them. Remember all under the physician's care. We may thank thee that at the moment there is no one in the hospital, but, oh Lord, thou knowest the many concerns, cannot be different at times overwhelmed. Give not over to too much discouragement, and wilt thou spare from rebellion, but give a bowing of the knees, and that they may be given to beg of thee, that these outward callings and afflictions, where thou wert speaking unto them in a special way, that they may come out of thy right hand, and that it may be for the saving of their souls. Remember the handicapped, the burdens, the crosses. Bless the family circles. Lord, we remember all those in high authority, federally, provincially, in the cities, and in our town. Wilt thou yet grant repentance, while it can yet, and while it may yet? Lord, it is written that the time is come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Oh, do grant unto us and our children a turning and a repenting of evil and worldly ways, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, and to seek and to find a place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel for the pardoning of our sins. Lord, in this evening, may our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding, open our lips to that end, and open thy word. May thy word go forth with power divine. Ah, Lord, thou knowest all the needs, all the desires for that desiring people. Wilt thou speak a word according to their several needs, that they may return to thy house rejoicing. Teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee, upon that loving and precious work of thy Holy Spirit. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Go from bench to bench and from heart to heart. And those that are lawfully hindered, who may listen along in their dwellings, do grant them a blessing. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 421, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Blessed is the man, O strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 29, the question and answer 78 and 79. Question 78, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Answer, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God. So the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeable to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Question 79, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own persons suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Lord's Day 29 speaks of the two gospel signs of the Lord's Supper, with three thoughts in the first place: seriously distorted gospel signs; secondly, richly portraying gospel signs; and thirdly, scriptural comforting gospel signs. The two gospel signs of the Lord's Supper, a seriously distorted gospel signs, in question and answer number 78, richly portraying gospel signs, and number 79, the first part, and scriptural comforting gospel signs, in the last part of number 79, thus first, seriously distorted gospel signs. Beloved congregation, when in this evening hour there is first spoken of the heirs concerning the gospel signs of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we all do well that we may examine our hearts how it is with those gospel signs? Have we learned to hunger and thirst after the things of the Lord? Have we, by the work of the Holy Spirit, have we become a sinner, ashamed of our sins and burdened with our debt, and that we have been given to cry for the Lord's favor, and where the Lord has begun, then also there can be so many questions, also much misunderstanding concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and also concerning the signs. Our Heidelberg Catechism was written in the year, do you know which year was it written? 1563. That was the same year that the Council of Trent, that was the Synod of the Roman Catholic Church, because of the Reformation, then they were forced to examine what they really believed and to put it down in writing. That council began in 1545 and closed in 1563. That does not mean that they have gathered continually. They have gathered in three sessions. And also in that Council of Trent, then every person was cursed that would not believe what they confessed, the error which is discussed in this Lord's Day, then that people were cursed. The Church of the Reformation, they condemned wrong doctrines, but they did not condemn the people. And now concerning that error, that is also important instruction. That has not entered the church overnight, but it has slowly crept in. The error has only increased. We find that error already referred to in a council in the year 1215 and surely ratified in the Council of Trent. And then our catechism was written. It was upon the command, the desire of Frederick III, a very God-fearing prince. Ah, what a privilege and what a blessing when a country may have such a prince, and not only concerned about the temporal welfare, but also greatly concerned about the spiritual welfare of his people. And now that prince was sorely grieved, and not only concerning that so many were led astray, although in that Roman Catholic Church the Lord had a remnant, and in the time of the Reformation, then for many it was a great struggle. But also before the time of the Reformation, that is so clear when we read the history of the church, that there were those souls who have been wrought upon by the Spirit, that have done anything and everything to save themselves by their works, and a sinner still, and were given to believe in the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what now grieved that God-fearing prince more? That there has come division in the Church of the Reformation. between the followers of the doctrine, what John Calvin taught and what Luther taught, and even a difference with Zwingli, although Zwingli was much closer to Calvin. And many times when there is spoken of Ulrich Zwingli, then there is mentioned that he has seen the sacrament of the Lord's Supper only as a sacrament of remembrance. We would say similar when a family thinks about their deceased on a special day, although it seems that Zwingli was instructed further, that he was given to see more in the sacrament. And concerning the heirs of the Roman Catholic Church, because the heir is that a priest, he received power from God by saying certain words, that he could change bread into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he was taught that he has received power to create a new Christ. Thus, when the Mass would be celebrated, then many Christ would be created upon this world. And then we would think, congregation, how can they really believe it? And it is recorded in history that there have been priests that have been on their knees for hours adoring the new Christ, which they have created with tears flowing, with much emotion and with much feeling. Then we see, congregation, that it can go far, because in our deep fallen Adam, we have not fallen out of a religion, but we have lost the tender fear of God. And if you speak to a Roman Catholic, then they shall tell us that when the priest speaks those words, that bread and wine is literally changed into the substance of the body and blood of Christ. Although they added, it still retains the properties of bread and wine. Sometimes they also refer to John 6, the verses 53 through 56, where Christ has stated, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." But then Christ is not speaking of the Lord's Supper, but he is speaking figuratively. We call that air transubstantiation, a change of substance. But now Martin Luther, oh, it seemed that Martin Luther, with the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that he has received a very special blessing. It's a blessing, people of God, when it may be granted by the Holy Spirit to receive a special, an extraordinary blessing. And to that end, Martin Luther had such a desire that Christ would be present bodily. No, he did not say that the bread and the blood, that they were changed into the bread and the wine were changed into the body and blood of Christ, that he did not teach. But he is taught when the Holy Sacrament is administered that Christ is bodily present in the elements. And to that end, We have heard it from the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Martin Luther has taught that with his ascension, that is human nature, received divine properties, that body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it became omnipresent. Thus the Lutherans teach that when the Lord's Supper is administered in two places at the same time, then he is present with his body at both places. But it is very clear in God's word, as we have been instructed concerning that ascension, that with his body that Christ is in the heavens, but with his Godhead, power, grace, and majesty, he is everywhere present with his church. And now the question is, how did the Roman Catholic Church and also Martin Luther come to that conclusion? In Marburg, there was a gathering of many of the Church of the Reformation, also Luther and Zwingli, with an attempt to reconcile them. And Zwingli had the better arguments. But then Martin Luther has written on the table, "This is my body." Thus, how are we to explain what is written, what Christ has said, with the administration, with the institution of the Lord's Supper? This is my body. Then we could give many rational arguments. If Christ has said with that institution, with the bread, "This is my body," then Christ would have two bodies. Then it is clear. I think our children can understand it, that when it says in the Bible, "This is my body," then Christ is telling, "This points, and this signifies my body." We could give the example, not a perfect example, but if a boy or girl, a son or daughter, points to a picture and says, "This is my father and this is my mother," to a friend, then they are not saying that it is literally their father and mother, but only a picture of their father and mother. And then if we would ask Martin Luther, many times in the scriptures, we read of figurative language. Also that word "is," we think of the Gospel of John, Martin Luther. Then Christ has said, "I am the vine, and do you now teach and preach in the church that Christ has literally become a vine?" Then Martin Luther would say no. If we would ask Martin Luther, "Christ has said, I am the door," did Christ then become a door? Then Martin Luther would say no. Then the instructors have simply stated, "Not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof appointed of God, as the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, although agreeable to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Secondly, richly portraying gospel signs. Then the instructors have asked, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? The Lord knew, because we read in Acts 15, verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. The Lord knew that strong and explicit language, that it would be misinterpreted, it would be misused, much error would come into the church. Then the question is, why is Christ then used such strong language? That is for the love to his people, for his children that are so ignorant and that are so doubtful, that are tossed to and fro, that have to say oftentimes, a little faith, a weak faith, oftentimes given to examine whether it is the true faith. We have heard it out of Mark 14. Christ has said to his disciples that there was one among them that would betray him. And then they have said one after the other, Lord, is it I? And now the master, the teacher, in his great love, has used very strong language in the scripture concerning the sacraments that his child may, and by the Holy Spirit, must believe, thus richly portraying gospel signs. And then we must speak about the bread and the wine. Does not begin with the bread and the wine. Because children, when a baby is born in the family, then you do not make a sandwich, peanut butter, jam, or whatever it be, and give it to such a baby. No, then such a little child desires milk, needs milk. Such a child, when they are hungry, they are given to cry. Have we become such a child, congregation? Have we become such a crying child? Because a child is not born big, little, helpless, dependent. And I read in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, that such a people desire the sincere milk of the word. That is a special mark of grace. Then they are given to hunger and thirst. But we must add, then such a child, they must not stay on their mother's milk. Because when a child becomes older, then they have more work to do. They need to study and many other tasks. Then they must not remain on that milk. But we read in the book of Hebrews that they need strong meat. And we have an example thereof in Genesis 21 of that little Isaac on his mother's breast. And then there came a weaning feast. That was a feast of rejoicing, because such a child has been spared, such a child is grown, and the time has come that it must be weaned off of its mother's milk. But oftentimes on such a feast, then that little child was crying. Thus the necessity to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I read in 2 Peter 3 verse 18. And now it has pleased the Lord Jesus Christ, in the institution of the Lord's Supper, to grant two signs. When we think of the scriptures, then we think of two witnesses. We think of the dreams of Pharaoh. It was double to confirm it. And in both the Hebrew and Greek language, then many times to confirm a matter, then the word would be repeated. And now those two signs, they richly portray the wonderful works of grace, the meritorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the first place, then there is bread, and that is common over the whole world. And we need food to live and to survive. Concerning that feeding, this morning we have read it, we did not come that far. But four verses in that long chapter of 44 verses are devoted that those passengers, the crew, that all, that they may partake of food, that they may be strengthened. And then we read that they were of good cheer. And now concerning bread, then our boys and girls, they know that much needs to take place before we have a loaf of bread. Do not so often think of it. But then many wonders have taken place. And now concerning bread, then first, the wheat needs to be sown, and that kernel of wheat dies. So Christ, he has said in John 12, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then the wheat needs to grow, needs to be harvested, and it needs to be ground into flour. Oh, a beautiful emblem, a beautiful picture, further placed in the oven. Do we not read in Isaiah 53, it hath pleased the Lord to bruise him, to be put in the oven of God's justice. Christ was willing, oh, what a love, that he was willing to take the place of his people, to take all their sins upon him. He has suffered and he has died. And then further, not only bread, but that the bread is broken points to the blessed body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken in the stead of his people. Then further, that bread is given. And further, that bread is digested, that needs to become one by true saving faith. How is it with that bread of life, congregation? How is it with the bread of life? have we learned to hunger and thirst. Oh, there is much hungering and thirsting after the things of the world. May we be kept from the many sinful addictions. And with that lawful hungering and thirsting, lawful desires which are good and which are beautiful, do you know what is necessary? That it may come in the context of that spiritual hungering and thirsting that people is described in the beginning of the Sermon of Christ and the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But not only bread, but also the wine. The berries must be picked. The berries must be placed in the wine press. The wine is gathered. It is given. It is poured out. And then the wine has different uses in the Bible. It grants joy, refreshes the thirsty. Paul has given the advice to Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. It encourages the faint-hearted. And now concerning the elements, they are set apart. They are blessed, broken and poured out, given and taken. And now the instructors, they tell us, namely, not only thereby to teach us that is bread and wine support this temporal life. Thus that is for nourishment, for strengthening, and that holy warfare, strong meat, for labors, for soldiers, in that holy warfare, with that triple-headed enemy, with those that are upon the sea, where many a storm shall come, then it is for nourishment and for strengthening. But then the instructors further declare, so is crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. Thus the broken bread and the poured out wine, they point to the blessed mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, his suffering and his death, where he was willing to take the death and the hell of his children upon him, where he has satisfied the justice of God, where a way is made that the child may receive the pardoning of their sins. When we think of those 276 upon that ship on the way to Rome, then they needed to be nourished, because Paul has said, no life shall be lost, but the ship shall be lost. Thus many fears before them. They did not know how it would transpire, but they needed to be strengthened for that moment. But now when Paul, when he was given to exhort them, that they must eat something, then what an encouragement that was. Because when a people is ready to drown in the sea, then they do not have to be strengthened, they do not have to nourish. And now our instructors especially add, not only to support this temporal life, the Lord has said unto Elijah, the angel, eat, for the journey shall be too great with thee, but also signs and tokens of what Christ has done, that finished work, that he has paid the price, congregation. What think ye of those gospel signs? Has there now come a need for those gospel signs? Have we become exercised with it? Precious things, or Christ has said those solemn words to the Jewish people in John 5 verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Those are weighty words, but in that exhortation, then Christ is declaring the gospel, because he is declaring to that people that he might have life. Then Christ is declaring to that people that they must come, that they need him as that heavenly bread, as that spiritual meat. Let us sing. Of Psalter 398, the three stanzas. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief, are held by his most gracious hand. 398, let us sing 1 and 2. And if necessary, also the third. Thank you. the two gospel signs of the Lord's Supper. Seriously distorted gospel signs, richly portraying gospel signs, and now thirdly, scriptural comforting gospel signs, and that is in the way of assurance. We read in Isaiah 40, that the prophet Isaiah has prophesied, comfort ye my people, as saith your God, as speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And that is what in a special way our third point speak of. And when we have spoken of the presence of the Lord, then there is indeed a special presence. And that in a threefold way. Then in the first place, then the elements have been set apart for sacramental use. And then in the second place, the Lord is present with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. And then the Lord is also present. The instructors, it depends, needs to be prayed about, that the Holy Spirit may grant his blessing. But now our last thought, and that is the special focus, because when our instructors have spoken, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul, the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Then they have first spoken, and they have worded it so, not only thereby to teach us, thus in the first place to teach, but then they have added, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges, to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood. And then they have added by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Thus it is not automatic. Thus then our last thought that speaks of the instruction that the church may be assured, broken reeds, smoking flaxes, riddles, perplexities, much trouble with that evil heart within, but now Christ in his great love, with the institution of the Lord's Supper, then when a partaker, a true partaker, and it may be blessed and accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, the child of God learns that they are so dependent in the way of preparation, in the way of partaking, and in the way of reflection, a great privilege and a blessing. When a child may be instructed, when they may be given to see, and that broken bread, the poured out wine, led how that Christ has purchased this church, but more especially when the child may receive that broken bread, and that poured out wine as a pledge. to make it simple for our boys and girls when the bridegroom, the great bridegroom, who was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s, when in that sacrament, as it were, Daddy gives that marriage ring as a pledge that they are his, that Christ has purchased them for body and for soul, for time and for eternity, when it may be granted, as it were, that Christ, that he grants unto his child that testament sealed with his blood. And then the instructors, oh, it is clear. When we read these Lord's days concerning the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, that they have been led deeply into the mysteries thereof, what it signifies, but all what is implied, that they have experienced at the Lord's table the riches thereof, because they have added, as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours when the Lord grants that broken bread and the poured out wine as a pledge. And then they have added, as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Then it is written, not without great reason, my unconverted fellow travelers, then the sacrament, then the broken bread and the poured out wine, they tell us the awfulness of sin, that it needs to be paid for, and that rather than that the Lord would let it go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son. But that table tells us that there is hope for sinners. A way may be proclaimed, but young and old needs to be experienced. Oh, beg the Lord that the means of grace, oh, use the means of grace. We have heard it this morning, the activity of that people on the ship, and the Lord has promised that it shall not return void unto him. Oh, beg then the Lord. Ask him in this evening, oh Lord, may I now become such a little one that I may belong to that family of God, that I may thirst for the things of God, and then I shall be blessed. Not without great reason, the life of the children of God, there can be an overestimation of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. How many a child of God has not thought, if I may now receive a place at the table, then it is all solved. But we must realize that the sacrament is not the Savior. 'Tis for the strengthening of faith. On the other hand, can also be an underestimation that it can be the thought and the thoughts of a child of God. The Lord's Supper is not the most important, as long as they may have grace, but when the Lord works, then we shall also become exercised with that sacrament, and not to be satisfied with the sacrament, but to receive what is signified. Oh, in this Lord's Day, then we read in Psalm 42, my heart is inditing a good matter. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. I read in Isaiah 33, verse 16, that there shall be a people that shall behold the King in his beauty. That may take place at times when the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is administered. O David, the psalmist of, sweet psalmist of Israel, he has declared when he was speaking, the Lord is my shepherd, thou preparest the table before thee, before mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. That is what the instructors may speak of. And then he has added in the sixth verse, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of God forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day and for thy word. We have heard of rich things. Who was able to declare the riches thereof? But, Lord, it is a comfort. Thou was written in thy word that by the foolishness of preaching, that sinners shall be saved. May that have taken place in this day. May it take place in the furtherance of this day. We have heard what thou preparest for thy people. Only a small beginning. That marriage supper with the Lamb, where there shall be perfection, that is laid away for eternity. Lord, we may begin another week. Wilt thou graciously remember us? Help the mothers in the home, the daytime, the night watches. Remember those that have duties during the night. We think of those that work in Bethesda. Wilt thou keep us at work on the way, in the day of tomorrow when family circles may gather together. May we be given to appreciate one another. And Lord, those family circles where there are empty places, wilt thou remember and uphold them? Wilt thou take us under thy kind care and under thy good protection? Then we shall be protected. Keep us from sin and temptation. Keep us from harm and danger. Wilt thou watch over us in this night? Grant some rest for body and for mind. Grant strength for all of our labors. May our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 52, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, therefore I no want shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow. And what follows, Psalter 52, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.